Motherfuckers, what's going on? It's Thursday night. You know you haven't washed your underwear. You haven't purchased any soy milk, some rice milk. You haven't paid your Con Ed bill. Your phone is off the fucking hook, but you got your internet connected. That's right. And you're plugged into SkidRowStudios.com, and we're live every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm Nestor Rodriguez. I'm your host, Nestorius.
Yo, Nestorius, the man, back in effect again and again, telling them, yo, we got a little buzz going, but we keep flowing. So, what's up? Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We're out here rolling. We're just, NPR.
I just have a little cable, you know, cable connection and shit, but it's all motherfucking good.
Cable connection.
Yo.
A little cable connection.
Anyway, yo, we got a really dope show tonight. One of my homeboys for deep, man. I don't even know how long do we know each other for?
I don't know, like 25 years.
20 fucking 5 years, some shit like that. That's like 12 Puerto Rican years, 25 years. Yeah. But basically, that's my man Paul Schulze.
Hola.
Konnichiwa, my man Paul Schulze. Hold on a second. We're just having a little situation.
And Paul, you're from New York, right? Voice.
I am. I grew up in New York, and I live in L.A. now. I'm just sort of like my man, Nestorius.
You know Nestor from back in New York City?
That's my man. Jeremy came in to fucking rescue. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yes.
I appreciate that shit.
Yo, we high tech.
You know what I'm saying?
We're high tech in effect.
Hold on a second. I got to make sure that we got the big up
is
working.
We got cables that hook up to other cables. We plug them into outlets.
For some reason.
We're blowing up. Internet radio revolution.
I don't know that that's working.
Jeremy in the booth.
Nothing's coming out.
Well, I don't hear it on this side, so roll with it, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to roll
you,
with it.
You don't hear it on that side, you said?
I hear it.
Okay,
it's good.
Cool. Okay,
keep
cool.
going.
All right, cool. So anyway, New
back.
York City, Paul, my Negro. So we know each other from deep. I'm just basically saying I'm like grateful that you're here. You know what I'm saying? I'm very
Me
happy.
Too. Me too.
You know what I'm saying?
My pleasure. I've listened to the vast majority of your shows, and I love both you guys. You're very What did we call it? Buck Wild Intelligence.
That's what you called it. Yeah. That's what you called it.
Buck, blue cop.
Booyah! Yes. Booyah! We just followed the most craziest fucking show. I swear to God, a Dark Mark fucking titty and vampire expose. You know
lovely.
What I mean? So
yeah, we got
the gorgeous pink haired vampire and Hell's Bells in the house. Anyway, and Moco Loco the clown. Anyway, crazy shit.
Frappuccino, the clown. We got Dark Mark in the house, everybody.
Sopranos and Nurse Jackie fan. I was like, I know that guy.
That's my man.
You're such a great guy. You're such a great actor. I couldn't believe I recognize him.
So anyway, that's what we're going to
round of applause for Dark Mark in the house.
Dark Mark.
That's the goth comedian Dark Mark, who just got back touring from Portland, Oregon.
Big up!
Oregon tour.
I love it. The Rainforest tour.
Yeah, the Rainforest.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the Birkenstock tour.
Yeah.
Just got back from rocking some shows up there, so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice. You know, if you do like a Humboldt County and points of interest north from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Open toes.
Keep the train rolling.
Yeah.
So now you knew Nestor. You met Nestor back in New York, is that correct?
I met Nestor. She was on the show. His sister and I worked in restaurants together and were friends for years.
Coming up, doing acting.
There we go.
Yeah, man.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just trying to figure out my computer's acting weird. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so yeah, we know each other from New York. Paul.
Well, he was saying he knew your sister. They worked together at restaurants, and then he found out she had a crazy brother.
Yep.
And that was you.
He had a crazy brother. Yeah, but the thing is, I didn't know Paul. Paul, you were working in a fucking restaurant when we first met.
Right.
And then, well, here's the deal. I saw the movie Laws of Gravity. That was the thing. We knew each other for a little while. And then I was like, for those of you who never saw Nick Gomez's film, Laws of Gravity, you really got to fucking check that shit out. It is unfucking believable. I mean, it's just unreal. You play Frankie, right? That's what you play. And you play a fucking psycho, you know, although that's not really the word, but you don't give a fuck.
Right.
Your character does not give a fuck.
Yeah, no, he's had, you know, I mean, he had an active youth and he's kind of, he's just trying to live.
And you grew up you grew up on the Upper East Side and you had the Budweiser boys and shit like that that were acting, you know, Irish mm-hmm. Psychos. So that was, that's where you got a lot of your how do you call it?
Inner psycho?
Yo, no, I mean, because you're
some
a sweet...
Some fodder to go back
right,
to,
right, right.
Sure.
You're
there
a sweetheart.
There were a lot of people in my neighborhood and like a lot of young guys trying to find my way. I was trying to act. You know, I hung out with a lot of people I was afraid of.
Well, you're a sweetheart, and so... But I know that you can have a side like that, though. You can blow the fuck up.
Sure.
You know, you got a little colorful rainbow rage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The psycho alpha disco beta.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now,
I mean, the whole most of the time, my rage only gets vented on my 8-year-old daughter.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's interesting you say hanging out with people you're afraid of, because I'm terrified of Nestor sometimes.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I can get a little crazy. I have a little rage. And a lot of people say, oh, you're Latino. That's bullshit. You know what I mean?
No, you're just angry,
what it is? One too many fucking shoes and flip-flops upside your fucking head when you're growing up. It's like, you know, it's in your memory. It's in your system.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you pull into that. Anyway, that's where you...
Flip-flop, you don't stop.
Did you knew Edie Falco before that because you guys went to college together,
right?
I did, yes. So Edie Falco was also in this movie.
Where'd you go to college?
We went to Purchase, New York.
Purchase.
It's a state college up there. Yep.
Yeah. You studied acting together?
No, I didn't study. I had no idea there was even an acting school there. I studied hamburgers
and fucking large fries in my college.
I went to that school because they lost my application and that pricked my interest when they never got back.
Interesting.
And then I went up there, but I absolutely majored in
interesting
in smoking Quaaludes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Dropping loads before class. Sure. You know, going for a...
It's interesting. I met Edie. My first memory of meeting Edie was approaching her on the mall and saying I'd seen her in a play and I thought she was wonderful. Mm. And she maintains that's not the first time we met. The first time we met was in a laundry room in the dormitory and she was sitting there and I approached her and asked her if she wanted a massage and she was too afraid to say no. I have no memory of it.
Really?
She said that to you? Yeah.
So you just dropped the massage in the laundry room? That's the oldest line in the book, though. I mean, think about it. You want a massage? I promise I won't touch.
No, I swear, there's never a line, but yeah, I just...
Dude, that's kind of pimp, though. He's just like, hey, yo.
I promise I won't touch it.
You want a massage?
How you doing, darling?
Yeah, I have some lotions here in my side pocket.
I promise I won't touch it.
I love it. Yes. Do you know who we have on the show?
So,
we have a fearless man that will ask Edie Falco for a massage.
So this was what, 91, 92?
I'm talking about
Laws of Gravity. Yes. It was like 91, 92. Yes. Here's the deal. Yeah. We're going to move on with the other stuff. But Laws of Gravity.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Laws of Gravity was one of the first movies that I had seen that used the handheld. And it almost felt like I was in that living room when you guys were talking about what you were going to do. So it had like a realistic, raw feel.
Yes.
You know, you guys were all fucking ne'er-do-wells. You could, you know... You smell trouble.
It was, and Gomez pointed out to me that it was absolutely a situation where, you know, the necessity was the father of invention for this thing. They couldn't afford to set up shots like
that.
So you got Jean de Zagoznak, who was the DP.
Right.
They said, we're going to do a documentary style, and this way we can just, like, free flow. But it gave it a very authentic feel.
I was looking at the credits. This guy, Larry Maestrich or something, was in there.
He,
doesn't he own a film distribution company now?
He, Yes, he does. Back in the days, started the Shooting Gallery. And this was their first film.
Oh, really?
The reason he's in the movie is because
they needed an actor, and they only had a $38,000 budget. Larry!
11 days and nights it took to shoot that film.
Well, I looked. They said it was $38,000 budget and that it grossed $117. This is all bullshit. You know what I mean? $117. Get the fuck out of here. I sold more motherfucking peanuts than that shit on 100th Street and Lexington Avenue. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, 106 and Park.
Yo, nuts. So, all right. So that established your relationship with Edie Falco. And you guys have a good relationship. I know. You
go. One of my closest friends. Absolutely.
One of your closest friends.
Yeah.
And you move forward to The Sopranos. And I remember when that show came up, and you know, I've met Edie a couple of times, and you know, I only know her as far as a person through you or my sister, who've had interactions with her. But I read an article about when she was on The Sopranos, and I think they wanted more money or something like that, and there was some sort of a strike, and her. I don't remember the specifics, but it's out in the open, whatever the fuck it was. And I think James Gandolfini was trying to get more money or something, because the show was doing really well.
Sure.
And he wanted to renegotiate. And so basically, if he's not on the show, nobody works.
Right.
You know? So, but I think he paid everybody while they were striking or some shit like that. But Edie, her quote was something to the effect of, I mean, more money? I'm just happy to be having a job. Mm. That says a lot about her.
And that sounds very much like
that
her.
That says a lot about her. Yeah. And so, you know, there you go. There you go, people. That's Edie Falco, brilliant actress.
Wonderful.
And so I remember when The Sopranos was coming on that, you know, she put in a good word for you, yeah? Something like that?
No, you know what? Actually, they had shot the pilot, and the part of the priest that I ended up playing was played by someone else.
Uh-huh.
Then the show got picked up, and she actually went and gave a shout out for another friend of ours to play the priest. Pitched him, and David Chase said, "You know what? I'd love to check him out, but actually we're interested in another friend of yours, Paul." And she said, "Okay." Then she just was quiet. She just let it go. But that show actually was just—it was David Chase. He loved Laws of Gravity.
David Chase.
And that's why.
David Chase did something else after that, right?
No, I know David the name. Chase is done. David Chase was the creator of The Sopranos.
No, I know that. I know that.
He did something before. He was with the that thing in Alaska, and he shot movies since.
Got it.
All kinds.
One of the things we were talking about before is, you know, you have a very famous scene. Where you're the priest and you come over at night, Tony's gone. I think it's the night of a storm or a snowstorm.
Mm.
And there's like almost a romantic scene with you and
Carmela.
Carmela Soprano. Mm. And one of the great things about that scene is, as the audience, we're scared for you because you have everything on the line, including like getting beaten up. You could lose, you know, being a priest, everything you've worked your life for, your reputation for this one moment of temptation. You're obviously frustrated. She's beautiful. She's frustrated, and it's just a powerful scene to be watching it because we're scared for you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that was great.
That was beautiful writing, man. I remember them. They juxtaposed her in with this raging storm outside, and me, and then Tony was upstate. It was called College, and he was with Meadow, and they were reviewing different colleges. Yeah,
that's right.
Great, and that's David Chase too. He made the. The sacrament of the Eucharist into a sexual, sensual act.
El sacramento de la Eucarista.
Sí.
Ok.
Sí.
Lo que te estoy diciendo, papito, es que cuando tú te metes el dedo por el culo, ¡fup! Eso es lo que pasa. Sale una chapeta y te lo meten por los ruidos. Ok.
Sí.
Órale.
Órale.
Órale, güey. Órale, güey.
Este pan es de body de Jesús.
Este pan es el cuerpo de Jesús. No, Jesús, el que está en la esquina. Anyway, so, yeah, no, that's, you have a very, in, no, so you have a very interesting, how do you call it, a list of projects that you worked on. And, you know, there's so many actors, and the thing I know you for so many years, and you're always like, That's the last thing. Like, whatever, whatever you see, Paul,
the last
that's
thing
the
I
last
talk about
thing.
Tonight, Papa. We're no, 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 no. We've got so many good things to talk about.
I'm not talking about the last thing you're talking about. That. Yeah. But that's the last thing that anybody talks about. Like, you know, it's like you're fucking Paul. You know what I mean?
Sure.
One of the most brilliant motherfuckers I know. But you have
radio.
No, no, you have a pretty impressive resume is what I'm trying to say. And it's not easy to get that, but you started somewhere. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people know you from 24 also.
Right.
That's a big fucking a show that you were on.
I definitely was fortunate, man, to be on some kind of iconic shows with some incredible people.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked with Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah. I worked with Edie Falco.
You've worked with a lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's been a great time.
What was the name of that movie that was it Zodiac? Was that it? Where you played a detective and they fitted you for a wig?
Yeah, you were a detective, but I was in that. Yeah,
you were a forensic motherfucker, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with Paul
Fincher,
without a
Fincher,
wig?
Unbelievable. He's another, incredible.
But they spent $5,000 getting a wig person to put on a fucking wig because, God forbid, a motherfucker looks like you, really like you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So can I ask you, what are some things you've learned being in scenes with some of these phenomenal actors?
You know, bro, I always kind of felt like, honestly, I feel like I'm not an actor that can take people wherever I want to take them, but I am an actor that can go wherever one of those type actors can take me. So I'm not afraid to go with them. I've worked with these people like Edie and Jodie Foster was in a Fincher flick.
Yeah,
they just go. And I'm brave enough and open enough and fun enough to just be with them and we go.
Yeah, so and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the opportunity to act with a fucking amazing actor, it's only uphill from there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's just like you just go with the flow.
It's weird. It kind of breaks up into two types of people, actors. It's really strange. Actors, to me, tend to fit into one of two categories. They're either very sensitive and very... or maybe overly sensitive and very curious about the human condition and what people think of them, or they're completely narcissistic, completely selfish and self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And those two type of people, almost complete opposites, work together all the time.
Right.
But anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
So then, so one more thing. It was like Thanksgiving or something, or right before that, one year, and you were meeting Sylvester Stallone to do Rambo, and you came back and said, "Yeah, I just went to his house in the Hollywood Hills," and so I'm like, "This is fun. This is a trip." You know, I had just moved out to LA, and since then, God knows, I mean, I fucking, you know, you meet people, and it's just like nothing. It's like, fuck, am I just sitting right in front of Sandra Bullock? Did I just shake Tom Hanks' hand? You know what I mean?
Right.
But that was a trip because you didn't audition for that. He knows your work and he wanted to have a meeting with you.
I auditioned for it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did, but I went on tape without him, and then he saw it and he invited me, actually not to his crib, it was to for coffee at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Right.
I think I had like 15 minutes and there were four of us slated waiting to go in there.
Oh, really?
And he offered me the thing.
How cool is that?
It was pretty intense. I mean, my God, I was driving there saying it's rock.
And you were in Thailand for about a month.
I went to Thailand for about almost 3.5 months.
Wow.
That long time.
He's like, God, I don't like that scene.
Dude,
you know what? We have a lot of money. Fuck it.
Yeah, he was like, how many times I got to tell you, I don't want any fucking banana trees. And he would grab a machete and run up the hill and start chopping them down himself.
That's funny.
He was unbelievable.
So I saw the movie because, of course, you got to see my Negro Paul in the movie. It was a pretty cool film. I mean, not for nothing. I'm not a Rambo fan. Of course, I know Rambo. Who isn't a Rambo fan? But it's one of those movies. I'm talking about the old school one, right? It's like, all right, cool. Whatever.
You didn't like the old ones?
It was okay.
Dude, it changed my life.
I hear you.
That's beautiful.
The Kosher Nostra. That's when your whole fucking other part of your...
Kosher Nostra? The one where he's in the woods? That was amazing. Like, it gave you hope.
As a
kid, they're like, man, if everything broke down, I'll be like Rambo and go live in the woods.
Yeah. It gave you hope. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, either someone would emerge from the rainforest, or the rainforest maniac in you would emerge.
Yeah, dude, you could just survive. Like, oh, it was the greatest.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's unbelievable.
So, but you got to work on it. You were a mercenary, And
I was actually a missionary.
Oh, yeah. Missionary.
They're so close.
They're
they
close.
Both have the same
a missionary.
Number of syllables.
He was a mercenary.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was just fucking Rambo, bro.
He's
there
just
was
Rambo.
No mercenary.
He doesn't need a backstory, motherfucker. I'm Rambo.
He doesn't have to get killed.
No,
killed.
You were a missionary. I got it. Yeah. That was a while ago. Missionary, mercenary. I mean, Hell's Bells. You know what I'm saying?
Forces,
Hell's
Black Bells. Ops,
Hell's Bells.
Green Beret.
Let me tell you something. Hell's Bells was just had, I mean, those huge teardrops painted. They looked like beautiful blue areolas. And she smelled divine. I mean, she
beautiful
smelled
blue
just really
areolas.
Like this subtle, subtle, beautiful fragrance. I really, very
she's,
classy.
Yeah, she spelled
very
like
classy.
Hope. Yeah. Like there
gave
could be
hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The teardrops are like the tears of all her ex-boyfriends.
Yeah, man. Oh, God. I'd like to swim in them.
Yeah, this is fucking ridiculous. Unbelievable shit. I'm trying to fucking play this clip. Anyway, let me see if I can play this clip. And then we can go on to the next.
There's some stupid motherfuckers in America. I'm sorry, man. And nowadays, you can't do shit. You can't do nothing. America's become a nation of fucking pussies. You can't do nothing. You can't kick your dog. You can't choke your girlfriend. You can't get a fucking medium rare burger because you might get salmonella. You can't jerk off in the sink in fucking public. You can't do shit. Can't do shit. It's unbelievable. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, my father used to fucking touch his balls, slap me in the head, and then make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And everything turned out all right, as you can see.
Anyway, that was one of my jokes from my special that I did on Stars in Black. But it goes into the crux of the show that you know I wanted to talk about, which is America has become a nation of fucking pussies, right? It's like you can't do anything anymore because you might offend somebody, right? This is not an original thought. Most of us have thought this once in a while. It's like, Jesus Christ. How many times have you gone? Seriously, part of that is that joke is reality, right? How many times have you gone someplace and said, "Could I get I'd like to get a cheeseburger. Could I get it medium rare?" Right?
Right.
And they'll say, "No, sorry, we can't do that here."
Right.
Why not? Because you know, it's the health code. Health code for fucking what? I'm paying for the fucking burger. If I want to get bugs in my ass, I should have the right to fucking get larvae in my ballsack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it always perplexes me. Like, I was in the airport not too long ago, this burger bar, right? This fucking hipster.
Umami.
You know, umami, at least you can get a medium rare burger. I completely fucking detest these places. But this is like a designer fucking burger joint. Designer my ball sack, okay?
So is that Father's Office? Is that what you're talking about?
Say that again?
Father's Office?
No. Father's Office is another place.
Yeah, that place.
They can suck my dick,
yeah,
Father's Office.
Wow.
No,
nice.
Seriously. Yeah. Father's Office can suck my motherfucking ball sack. It's one of those burger joints in L.A. that you have to go. So I asked the dude. That's my man, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, for mentioning that. That's another place. So I go in there. I said, "Can I get a burger? But I don't like blue cheese. Can I get it without it?" He's like, very arrogant Asian motherfucker behind the bar. He's like, "No, that's how the burger comes. The fucking burger comes the way I want it.
Right.
I'm paying for it.
It comes the way the chef prepared it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Envisioned it. Yeah.
Get the fuck out. Anyway, but you get the point. It's like, so how many times, I mean, I'm sure that's happened to you, right?
Not really, no.
You're Jewish, right?
Yeah.
So you go into a place and you ask for fucking pork, kosher pork, and they say, "Nah, we don't bless the pork here."
No, we don't have that. I'm just saying, I don't get a medium rare burger. I get it medium.
Right.
Number two, I've never had someone say, "No, you can't do that way."
That's never happened to you?
No. It's happened to me, absolutely.
Of course
I've heard it
has.
Many times.
Of
and
course
I don't even
has.
Think it's necessarily indicative of a nation of pussies, although you have a point. It's obviously based on this litigious fucking society that we
litigious,
have.
Litigious, bro? Case. That's a fucking crazy-ass word right there, okay?
No, right. Just, but I mean, you know,
just
everyone's
saying.
So worried about the legal ramifications of everything.
I'm just
that
fucking
just,
saying.
Yes,
no, shoot.
Litigious, you motherfucker!
Because anyway. You're going to get bugs in your ass. You're going to come back. You're going to bring a lawyer.
No. Here's the deal. That's the fucking problem, the lawyers. But that's not the thing. I was reading a couple of articles, and they kind of go hand in hand with this bullshit. You know, you have for instance, Michelle Obama came up with a, what do you call it? an idea to have, you know, healthy America, implement, you know.
Be active.
Right, be active. Get the fuck off the computer. Put your motherfucking hands on your cock, but bring it outside. Let everybody else enjoy it. You know, interact with people. Right. What the fuck is social about Facebook when you're at home in your underwear? Get the fuck out of the house. Say hi to your neighbor.
Yeah. You just, as long as you're sweating, you can do anything. It's for your health. Yeah.
Exactly. So basically, there's a campaign is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
That Michelle Obama has this, it's called the Let's Move Initiative. So the United States Postal Service came up with these beautiful postages, you know, like they do.
Stamps.
Stamps, yeah. Stamps. Postages, yeah. Exactly, motherfucker. Stamps.
I think that's the old word for it. Stamps.
Postages, strange. You fuck.
Yeah.
Stamps, that's old shit. Get with the motherfucking program. So they come. No, seriously. They're very simple. I'm going to post them. By the way, you guys listen to my podcast. You're listening to Skid Row Studios. You're listening to Nestorius Public Radio on skidrowstudios.com. If you download my shows on iTunes, you could always go to the Skid Row Studios website, and the episodes are there. And usually there's a show description and there's pictures that kind of support some of the topics that I'm talking about.
Yeah, so buy some postages, mail us some letters.
So this picture.
Send us your, your comments.
This picture, I'm going to put this picture. So it's basically a light blue collection of like a girl jumping rope, a kid tossing balls up in the air, like juggling, dribbling
and skateboarder,
right? So and they have the words in case you dumb fucks don't know what it is to be active. So they have a word like jump, toss, bounce, spin, kick, leap, ride, twist, bat, stretch. Remember stretch? Yeah, shit like that. Swing. There's a fucking swing. There's a girl on a swing. Anyway, somebody decided that since there's a kid doing a cannonball into a lake without protection, it's unsafe. Mm. Somebody decided that there's a kid doing a stand, like a handstand in his head.
Without a helmet.
Without a helmet. Then that's dangerous.
Right.
If somebody is skating without fucking knee pads, it's
and
dangerous.
Elbow pads. Wrist pads, it's retarded.
So they took these postages, okay?
Yes.
They took the postages and they put them on hold and they did away with them. Because they're
deciding whether they need to, right? Or did they already throw
them? Well, this was, believe it or not, this story is from September. I believe that they decided
they
not
to. They shelved it permanently.
Yeah, now they're going to do some new postages, some sit-on-your-ass postages.
Right.
Yeah. One with a kid sitting there cutting himself.
Yeah.
One with
yeah.
a kid in the corner with yeah. no friends.
Right.
Again,
one,
just
right,
little catchphrases.
Right.
Teabagging.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Happy guy cutting his fucking, yeah. his cutting himself.
Now, do you want to hear something? And I think we've talked about this before in the show. I forget exactly what, but there's a kid out there who's 19, 20 years old, who gets out and, you know, he's working. He's just left his parents' house. Maybe he's 21. And from the time that kid was born in a suburban area, it spent at least 40% of its life sitting in a carpool. Think about it. Where we grew up, like running the streets with our friends, he grew up in the backseat of a Volvo station wagon.
Right.
Like, think about
not
this.
Not even getting
carpool
molested
to music,
or anything.
Carpool to music lessons. Carpool to yeah. swim practice. Yeah. Carpool to school.
To
carpool,
the nanny's office.
And carpool to the nanny. Carpool.
Right.
You grew up in the backseat of
right.
a station wagon.
Right.
That's all you know. And you're going to sit there and.
You're talking about
have a degree and you're going to tell me shit?
You're talking about 90s and 2000. Now kids grow up in front of the fucking computer, in front of an iPhone.
What I'm saying, in front of their iPad or in front of their DVD in the backseat of Volvo.
Yep.
Think of all, if you have a 4 or 5 kids, these moms, they just drive. They drive carpool nonstop.
Yeah.
When does the carpool end?
Well, I was thinking these stupid fucks with, first of all, think about it. They're trying to promote, you know, act active.
Yes.
You know, be active.
Yes.
Do something.
Health.
Be physical. Do something healthy, right? And some fuck will come out and say, no, you're depicting dangerous acts. Motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. The stamp inspired my child to go out and hurt himself.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You remember Skelzies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the bottle caps.
Okay,
yeah.
So you guys remember, you guys may not know the Skelzies. In the middle of the street in Harlem, okay, you'd get a bottle of fucking Budweiser, okay? You'd fucking rub it.
Big up Budweiser!
Big up! Big up, you fucking drunken motherfucker! Yeah. So think about the little ring, the glass ring on top of the bottle, right? So this is the ingenuity of fucking
the
wealth.
Ingenuity is when it's a beautiful young child. And
yeah,
she's
yeah. The ingenuity yes. is when it's a beautiful idea is yeah. what it is. The ingenuity.
Yeah. So, the ingenuity. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So you remember the corrugated metal grills on the floor? Mm. So you take the cap, the metal cap, right? Mm. So that's not heavy enough to hit with your finger to go from one box to the other. The object of the game was to knock the opponent's bottle cap out of the fucking box.
Right. Like so, marbles. It started
like,
with marbles.
Like
right.
marbles, but right. we're Spicks and Negroes. We
marble.
Got marbles, no. motherfucker.
We got grape soda tops. Bottle tops.
Yeah, we got fucking, we got wise potatoes.
I fucking flip tops.
Yeah, right. We got wise potato chips and welfare juices. Who the fuck got time for marbles?
Come on.
So basically, I was thinking about this. So since they're not heavy, and you can't really hit them on asphalt, you needed something to weigh them down. So the glass ring on the top, which is basically the top that holds the cap on, you'd rub it like on a corrugated gate, and eventually it would pop off. Okay, so you take this ring and you put it into the bottle cap. Now the bottle cap is Skelzy's friendly. Okay, right. Now you can hit it. It's not too heavy, but it's just right that it can glide across the asphalt.
Beautiful.
In the middle of the fucking street.
Right.
In the 70s. Okay.
Right.
Your mother and father nowhere in sight.
Not even thinking about it. Yeah,
So what happens is you're in the middle of the street. Your manual dexterity is being exercised. Mm-hmm. Your sixth sense is being exercised because you know you got to fucking play your game, but also watch for cars coming because you may get hit.
Or just feel them, absolutely.
You'll feel them. You know the deal. You got to make your move. Nowadays, like you said, you're in the back car with this. Anyway, that's part of the whole thing. And I'm sorry, America has become a nation of pussies. Mm. Look, in Long Island, another article.
In Long Island
middle school, they banned fucking ball playing, any kind of ball, basketball, baseball, wiffle ball, football, because the kids might get hurt, right, during recess. Right. And then the argument was that it's in Port Washington, Long Island. Port Washington, oh my. Anyway, so
don't want the children to be hurt.
Yeah,
at
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
It could hurt yeah, their yeah. emotional
it's the
stability.
It's the balls.
Yeah. It's the balls. Exactly.
The balls are hurting the children.
It's the balls. And this is the way, the way, the way, the way we
rock the high. You like them big hairy balls, don't you?
Baby. That's right, motherfucker. Everybody likes balls.
But
right?
What these parents in Port Washington need to realize is either your kid gets hit in the balls, in the ball with something in recess, or later in life, he's going to have someone lay his balls on his fucking forehead in some motel somewhere because you never let him hang and have fun.
No, exactly. So in an effort to reduce injuries, the school banned footballs, baseballs, lacrosse balls, and rowdy games of tag. Instead, children will be given foam Nerf balls to play with.
Yeah, inside plastic bubbles.
Dude. Remember Ring-a-Levio?
Oh, a ring-a-Levio, a ring-a-Liga.
What's that? Are you kidding me? It was like there's a jail that we release guys one at a time. You have to stop me from getting to jail. But yeah. I mean, guys would have their noses.
If you get hit, you got to go to jail.
It was phenomenal, and it was fun. I could barely sleep at night knowing I was going to play tomorrow. Like right. I'm going to fucking win. It was great.
Nice. Remember just punching your friend in the head, and then you were friends a couple hours later.
Of course.
What happened to that?
Well, that's the thing about gay guys that I admire a lot, as opposed to like heterosexual relationships. That
they punch each other in the head.
Gay guys will have a fight. They fuck each other up. Next thing you know, they make out. Mm. You're married. We were talking about this earlier, right? You're with your spouse. You have a little tit. Right? A tat, whatever. You left something, whatever, it doesn't matter. Let's say you left the toilet bowl, the seat up or whatever. Mm. That right there, you won't be talking for like a week. Mm. Right? Wouldn't it be as if you could just fucking punch her in the head? She'll punch you in the fucking head. You choke each other. Next thing you know, it's all good. No police are called. Everything is fine. You grill some fucking vegetables.
Puerto Rican conflict management.
You know what I'm saying? And you go, you fucking grill some vegetables. You grill some motherfucking fucking vegetables. You work it out.
Yeah, why not?
You work it out, you boomba clod.
Work it.
You work it out. Yes. But no.
So are you advocating gay fist fights within
I'm just saying I admire that. I admire that. And I'm being honest. I do admire that. I admire, like, some gay guys, they get into it. They scratch it. See, beat the fuck out of each other.
It's not about gay. It's about men.
Men.
And so that's
you're right.
The difference.
You're right.
No, you get two men. That's exactly what my man was talking about.
Yeah, but two heterosexual men, they're going to fight. They're not going to talk for a while.
What if there was a gay boyfriend boxing show?
They will sooner than women.
But yeah. But I get it.
Yeah.
You punch each other out. Next thing you know, don't worry about it. You crack some Budweisers. You watch the football game. Yeah. Let bygones be bygones.
Because it's very simple. You're just establishing who's alpha. I mean, right. It's like it just gets easier. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like yo, motherfucker, my balls are bigger than yours. And you're like, yo, motherfucker, my balls is bigger than yours. And you fucking get into it, ram tough, right? You punch, and one of you guys is going to get hurt more than the other.
Absolutely.
Right?
One of us is going to say, oh, I guess your balls are bigger.
Right.
Now it's easy for me.
Right.
Now I know you got bigger balls, right. And it's easy for me.
Right. Station identification, man. You got to know who got the bigger balls, man. It alleviates all sorts of mental issues, man. Pick up your bomba clad. Know your balls.
What if there was like an ultimate fighting between gay boyfriends, like Todd is mad at Phil because Phil, you know, messed up the prints and the new decorating.
That's interesting.
Phil's mad at Todd because he's working long hours. After three rounds, they'll be back together. And just three gay guys just like, boom, boom. Yeah. And just, you know, and then at the end, they're like, well, we really fell. We feel better now, and we're going to move on. And we're very happy.
You know, you're absolutely right. That's a very good, that was a very good illustration, because when it comes to a man and a woman, you really, that's the challenge right there. You really can't establish who's got the bigger balls. Think about this, because...
Well, she doesn't have any balls. You're supposed to...
No. What's figuratively speaking here, my man, what I'm saying is that you will never decipher that. At some point, one of you has to acquiesce to the other in order to move on. You understand?
You're dealing with two complete... One of you is used to responding.
Right.
The other's used to reacting.
Punching.
Him.
But so sometimes her is used to reacting too. It depends.
Right.
But the thing is, you can't just punch each other and then, you can't settle it physically is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And the deal is, women are not physical like that, like we are. They're more emotional. So you have to sit down and talk about it.
Yes, and they're verbal.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's why
it's not fair. That's why it's not a fair fight. You want to settle it physical. What if, like, you know, you settled it by, like, crossword puzzles or some shit that, like, women are better at than you. I don't know.
I'm gonna fuck you up, bitch. You should have known who you were fucking with.
Yeah, bitch?
Yeah.
Three down.
Yeah.
Three down.
Yeah.
You have no clue.
Yeah. Going back to the balls, I was reading an article. What's interesting is that I was reading this article, and too bad I don't have it and you guys didn't read it earlier, but they were saying that studies have found that men with smaller testicles they're more sensitive and are better fathers. Mm. No lie. Bizarre shit. Anyway, food for thought. So
ladies, go find yourself a small ball guy. He's going to be a great father.
Guys, if you have small balls, listen, it's not over. There's something for you. Find a woman, impregnate her. That's going to be your calling in life.
Drive carpool.
Yeah. You're going to be a daddy.
Carpool.
You're
going to
be a daddy. You're going to be a daddy.
So you can just suck my cock. So you can just suck my cock.
I got that shit on the loop. You looped it. Yeah. Anyway, so then the other thing is that at the end of the day, going back to the burger shit, at the end of the day, I think it's going to come around. For instance, in a Virginia school district, the powers that be decided that the burgers that the schools were serving the kids were not healthy, right? They were serving them not 100% burgers. They were serving them like 10-20% beef, and the rest of it is slime, which is comprised
all kinds of additives.
Just additives, but fucking bleached beef parts, knuckles and all kinds of shit. They mush it together and they blend it together, and that's what a burger is.
Right, that pink shit.
Pink slime, it's called.
Pink slime.
That's what they call it. So So they revamped the whole school lunch
menu.
And the kids were like, the kids were like,
I'm glad we're together again.
No. The kids were like, hold on a second. The kids were like, hell no. The kids were like, hell no. And then eventually what they had to do was they had to go back to the 10% beef patties, 90% slime. Okay? Can't fuck with people, man. You can't fuck with what people want to eat.
Yo,
you
they
understand?
Like to go with what they know.
Right. Some people don't give a fuck if there's nail particles in the McNuggets, okay? Sometimes you just want the fucking feeling of the flavor of a motherfucking Pringle. You know what I'm saying? Who gives a shit? You understand? Government, you need to suck the biggest dickest, step the fuck off. The people want what they want. You gotta let the people have what they need. You understand?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, if you really wanna fuck around, we'll go to some more insanity. So in Wyoming, now check this out. Talk about government. In Wyoming, the Senate tried to pass the firing squad as a method of execution. Right?
They wanted to bring it back.
Right. They wanted to bring sexy back. And I'm thinking, what the fuck's the problem? I don't understand. So you got all these pro-gun fucking advocates in middle America, and now you're going to pussify yourself and you're going to be like, nah. Mm. Mind you, if you read the article, there's only one guy on death row. One guy. Right?
Does he get a vote?
No. Oh. He doesn't get a vote. He's appealing. He apparently raped and murdered an 18-year-old. Mm. That's why he's doing
life.
Give him
a firing squad. What's the big deal?
Well, my thing is, why? What's the big deal?
And didn't they shoot it down, Nestor? They said they voted it down, right?
They shot it down. They shot it down.
I believe it was still lethal injection.
Yeah, lethal.
And if in a pinch, right. you can give him the electric chair.
Right.
Even though they have no fucking electric
right,
chair.
Right, right. But lethal injection on right. top of that is very difficult to enforce because they have a hard time getting the drugs that they need. Mm. Okay? Mm. They're looking in the wrong place, in my opinion.
Yeah, why don't you just shoot? It's crazy. Yeah. Forget about just firing squad. Firing squad in the middle of an outdoor mall. Let's give the people what they want.
Yeah.
The people want to see you shot.
You know
hangings,
what?
Public hangings.
You know
guillotines
what?
Next to the Jamba Juice.
Fuck.
I can see it now. Everyone's lining up. They get to watch the execution while they eat their 10% beef. Yeah. 90% pig.
Fuck the execution. All you need to do is get the dude who's on death row, right? Do it every Christmas or on Black Friday, right? And Thanksgiving. Mm. On Black Friday, you put this motherfucker in the middle of a mall and have him be the first in line to go into a Walmart, okay? You open up the fucking Walmart. Everybody else has tasers, okay? So you open up, you ring the bell, the doors open up, let everybody tase him, call it an accident. Use the fucking system, you bomba-clad motherfuckers. You bomba-clad! What the fuck are you doing with our tax dollars?
Wyoming.
Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. And so if you thought that was crazy, I mean, I thought that was a little ill, right? Mm. Firing squad. But in a sense, what's so different about that and lethal injection and the electric chair?
Why not death by dunk tank at the county fair?
Right. Why not death by fucking rare burgers, the fucking slime burgers, like you were saying, mm-hmm. right? So on top of that, Iowa. This is America, y'all. This is fucking America. This is, you know, I love this country.
There's nothing to not love. It's fantastic.
I gotta tell you something. I fucking love America. But America is one of these places, like New York, we're from New York, where you love and you hate at the same time, right? You alternate. Overall, there's this, you know, encapsulating amount of love that you have. You never will, you know, die from that. You're never going to run out of that love. But there's certain aspects of it that are like, holy shit, I'm part of this fucking nation?
Not easy.
Right? Not easy. So Iowa is granting gun permits to the blind.
So thoughtful.
Oh my God, you read that shit, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Fucking... And their argument was that it's legal under the Federal Gun Control Act of 1968, which limits who can get guns nationwide. People who are convicted of crimes and serve time for more than a year, people addicted to controlled substances, and anyone who has been committed to a mental institution are among those who aren't allowed to possess firearms. Now, obviously, each state has their own regulations and stuff like that. But the argument here is that the American Disabilities Act protects a disabled person's right to anything that a non-disabled person has. So if you tell a disabled American that, listen, you can't have a gun because you're blind, what's going to happen? All hell's going to break loose.
Right.
It's going to be fucking discrimination, defamation. Your rights are fucked up. Let me just explain something to you, you cocksuckers. Let me just break this shit down.
Break it down.
Okay. So you have a fucking freeway. Okay. Everyone on that freeway has an automobile. Right? Supposedly, except for that fuck that's trying to commit suicide as he's crossing eight lanes of 70-mile-an-hour cars. Everyone has a vehicle. Supposedly, everyone's supposed to have a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, everyone is, by law, regulated to have insurance. Mm-hmm. Right? So, the reason you have a license is because the state regulates who can or cannot drive a fucking car.
Yes.
Right? Why? Because a vehicle is a machine. Right?
Yes.
Have you ever been hit by a car?
Not at 70 miles an hour, but have you? I have been tapped.
No, not at 70 miles an hour.
Me neither, at any miles an hour, and I want to keep it that way.
On next episode, we are going to NPR Daredevil episode.
Okay? So the point is, you know, in
there's
order
a reason for regulation.
In you order to have can, a yes. weapon, a car can be a weapon.
Absolutely.
In order to have a weapon, meaning a machinery, something that can cause a machine, an item, whatever, that can cause harm, right? You should have some sort of a license. You should be regulated to say you are fit to do this. I mean, somebody who's been incarcerated for more than a year. So that means someone who's been incarcerated for less than a year who may have committed murder, sodomy, rape, or whatever, but he hasn't been caught, he can carry a gun. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an absurd law, but at least it's an attempt to regulate, right? Mm-hmm. And my thing is it's preposterous.
Bro, they put themselves in a situation where it's like, I might not be able to see, but I can hear that motherfucker coming through my front door. I am going to. That was the wrong blind man's front door.
Well,
and I'm blazing.
Well, that's really
and
true.
I got
I mean,
the right to do it. And if I'm blind, I don't want you to say he can't do shit because he's blind. Come through my front door and
listen. If you're blind, the only thing that you should be allowed to do is eat pussy. Because all you need to do is find the sheet and find the legs. That's
well,
it.
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
Here's what a lot of people in the city don't understand about the gun debate. Because why people in the country are in favor of guns, why people in the city don't get is in the city we have this thing called 911. But in most parts of the country, in the rural areas, if somebody attacks you, the nearest sheriff sometimes is 50, 30, 25 miles away, or a park ranger 30 miles away if you get them on the phone.
So guns
are a very important reality for them to protect themselves. And the truth is, if you were in the middle of nowhere around a surroundings that the blind man was familiar with, i.e. his home, okay, and he had a shotgun that could hit a general area, he probably would be able to wield that shotgun
absolutely
at an intruder. And especially if he had a dog to help him notify him of it or this and that. He might take the dog out too, but fuck it, bro. This is a zombie apocalypse.
Yo, fuck
I'm blind.
That.
I got to get an advantage.
Spraying. I'm spraying the entire crib.
Him hurt you, man.
Yo, yeah. I hear everything.
Yeah. Him hurt you, man.
Like Rutger Hauer in that one movie or like Van Damme in Bloodsport, right? You, just because you get the powder thrown in, you can still fight.
That's it. So let me just wrap that little fucking tidbit up. Basically, in Texas, check this out. Lawmakers passed a measure in 2007 to help legally blind people hunt.
That's okay? Sweet.
So the law allows legally blind hunters accompanied by a sighted partner to use laser sighting devices, according to the NRA, Institute for Legislative Action. Let me just say this. Let me just explain this thing here, right? So if you need someone to help you shoot, why don't you get that person to help you go to the fucking supermarket and get you some steaks, okay? And fucking just cut to the motherfucking chase.
I know.
You need somebody to help you go to the fucking grocery store, to the woods to shoot.
Like, it's absolutely true, though, what my man was saying, in the vein of there are some people in the world that think, my God, what would it be like if, you know, I lost my sight? The first thing they think is, could I hunt?
Yeah.
Could I still hunt?
That's what they think.
Because they love it.
That's what they think.
You know, and God forbid, the poor guy can't even see anymore.
Well, you know,
now you're not. Now he can't hunt.
Well, he's gonna hunt. Going back to that ball, I got bigger balls than you. Right. That is the mentality, right? But it's a safe mentality because you don't have to be challenged by someone who might actually have bigger balls than you, right? So you have the weapon, right? You have bigger balls, right? So you're shooting. Something's not going to shoot back at you, right? You're punching somebody. You're beating somebody the fuck up without the risk of somebody fucking you back up. And all you need to do to justify that you got the bigger balls is hit the right target.
But, you know, it's interesting, Ness, because it really does come from this difference between an urban and rural mentality. We are used to, when you talk about a gun, you think about like, yo, I will shoot you. But that's not a hunting culture. The hunting culture is they appreciate the outdoors. They really love it in the city.
By the time someone pulls a gun, it's at a nightclub and everyone's scattering.
Yeah, and it's madness. Yeah.
No one's pulling out a gun in the city just to be like, hey, you know, check it out. Oh, that's not, you know,
right,
like,
check out my deer rifle. It's just different.
Yeah,
very different.
Yeah, it's ridiculousness. It's just anyway. I'm thinking that America needs to reconsider the psychotic shit that's going on. We should be allowed to have medium rare burgers, right? You should not be allowed to have a permit for an armed weapon if you can't see your balls. You understand? And you should let your kids play at recess with real balls, not the fucking cushy Nerf balls, right? And for fuck's sake, if our tax dollars have gone to postages, okay, that have kids exercising, okay, what the fuck?
I just gotta jump in and say one thing, man. There's a difference between pussified and being a bully. Why are you a pussy? I think you're being a bully, denying the blind man's right to own a gun. Sorry.
I say you put the gun.
You're not a pussy if you got, you know, if you deny the guy. I mean, they're two different arguments.
I say you give the blind man a gun, you let him patrol recess. When kids start jumping out of line and without helmets and shit,
shoot them.
Cock going over their head.
I hear you. Shoot him. Shoot the motherfucker. Yeah, shoot the motherfucker. So we're coming to a closing curb to the show. We're almost out of time. But what's going on in your life, Simon? You haven't been on the show for a while.
Oh man, you know. Well, I went to the Super Bowl.
You did.
Fantastic.
I was 22 rows up on the 45-yard line.
Wow.
Nice. On the Seahawks bench.
Right. Did you get hit in the head by a ball?
Three rows in ahead of Tom Arnold, who left in the third quarter because he's a Broncos fan.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I watched the Seahawks whoop him up. So.
Got it.
Right on. It must have been fun.
And you're on, Paul, you're on season six, is it?
We finished six.
Season six.
Yeah, we're hoping for seven.
Of Nurse Jackie, which we didn't even talk about, but that was another show, which is pretty dope, man.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
I remember when that show started, man. Six fucking seasons. You know what I mean?
Fantastic.
Big the fuck up. Big the fuck up. Six seasons, that's a big deal, dude.
Yeah, man.
Very fortunate.
Yeah. And gets in shoots in New York. I mean, there's nothing bad about
it. And they fly you back and forth?
Nah, they give me enough to
put myself. Is it a local hired thing?
Yeah,
motherfuckers,
yeah.
Boy. Right. They get away with that shit. And you, here's it. We didn't talk about it. Paul has the most adorable, the most gorgeous, the most gorgeous bundle of fucking love. His daughter, Lena, is, I don't think I've ever seen a more beautiful human being in the world, ever.
And all I can think of is I'm blessed to have small testicles because I'm a great dad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Put your motherfucking testicles where your mouth is. Anyway, we're coming to a close. My name is Esther Rodriguez, as you all know already. You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. You have been listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show for the last 55 minutes. You can check us out on iTunes, on Facebook, on Twitter. Facebook.com/Nestorius Public Radio. Go to iTunes, man. Check out Nestorius Public Radio under podcast. Hit the motherfucking subscribe button. Make sure that your preferences on your iTunes program are on automatic downloads for new episodes. And come on, man, support a motherfucking brother, you know what I mean? And we're here, and we're out!
Get it off, get it off, let it off. Shut it off, get it off, let it off. Shut it off, get it off, let it off. Shut it off, get it off, let it off.
Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me.